Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, amen. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you, worship team. Oh, my goodness. How's everybody this morning? Hallelujah. Baptism Sunday. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. House is open for baptisms. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. If I'm going to get wet, you might as well get wet too. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is able to do far abundantly above all you ask or think. You guys know that? How many know that? How many know that God can do anything He wants to do? Is that right? But you know what? He won't make you worship Him.
Amen.
He's not. Oh, there's some things that He will not do. God, He doesn't force us. Is that right? How many know that? God never forces us. Did He force you to get saved?
Nope.
Come on, man. Does He force you to give? No. Does He force you to pray? No. Oh, but if you love God, you're going to do those things. Amen? Come on, man. God is good. How many of you say God is good?
That is good.
Man, all the time? All the time. Are you sure? All the time. God is good. Yeah. Jesus said there is none good but one. Is that right? Yeah. Talking about His Father. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, I've got to give an announcement. I got an address for you guys. Been invited to speak at the men's breakfast at the Evangelical Free Church. Hallelujah. You know, it's crazy because when God has a message in your heart, can I tell you, He'll put you someplace. Is that right? He will lead you and guide you and direct you because of the message that He's placed on your heart. Is that cool? That's cool. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to put this address up there. So guys, if you want to come with us, because I like men's breakfast when everybody talks. And I don't know if they do it that way over there. But that's okay. They invited me, so I might as well do it, right? Come on. So, we'll see what happens. But so it's at 8 o'clock over at the Evangelical Free Church, and we'll see what happens. I believe God by His Spirit is drawing the body of Christ together. How many believe that? How many know it's time? It's time. It's time that these things that have separated the body of Christ begin to fall down. And we all realize that, you know, it's only by the Holy Spirit that anything's done on the earth for the kingdom of God. How many know that? It's only by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is at work today. And I believe we're in the midst of a harvest. How many know that? How many believe that? I believe that those fields that have been white to be... I believe God is sending workers, and that's what y'all are. How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, man, you're a worker in the kingdom of God. You're a worker in the field. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, seriously, look at your neighbor and say that. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Do a little preaching in the house of God. Everybody gets to preach today. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, you belong to the Lord. Anybody say that? Look at your neighbor and say, you belong to the Lord. Let Him have His way. Come on. Hallelujah. You guys are going to get mad at me by the time. How many know? It looks like we're going to have baptism today. Is that right? We'll see what happens. Man, I just in the message that 2 weeks ago I spoke the message. What was it?
Obedience.
Obedience, yeah. Obedience. Authority flows in obedience. It was 2 weeks ago. And talking to the Lord last few days and last night, said, Lord, okay, I'm ready. What do you? And He says, obedience flows. Authority flows in obedience. I said, again? He said, again. I said, preach the same thing? No. So we're calling this authority flows in obedience too. Is that okay? Makes it hard.
I believe God has got things that he's wanting to say to us. I believe that it's important that we hear these things because God is bringing the kingdom of God into the earth. How many know that? We are the kingdom. Is that right? But we need to know how God operates. How many know that? We need to know these things. We need to understand these things. And divisions isn't part of the way the kingdom of God operates. How many know that? I mean, whether you're Baptist, Catholic, I mean, what God knows folks, he knows the hearts. And him, God by his Spirit, has begun to draw the men and women of God together to form the kingdom of God on the earth. That's going to be so powerful. Because how many know, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree concerning anything, it'll happen. Is that right? But let's say that everyone that has a heart towards God, not calling themselves by whatever, but they have a heart towards God, just want to see God do things. All of a sudden they begin to get together. Guess what happens? The power of God becomes almost resident to where it can do. God can do almost anything he wants to do. Is that right? But he will use the body of Christ the way he used Jesus. Is that right? Jesus is our example. How many know that? How many believe that? There is no other example that God has given. Adam was an example that was going to be for us to follow, but there was a little accident back there. How many say a little accident? And plunged the world into sin, and Christ had to come and redeem everything that God had placed to be on the earth. Christ had to redeem it. And we are living in a redeemed world. Do you guys know that? Do you know that the trees and the whole earth is the whole thing is redeemed? Jesus did a complete work. He redeemed not only mankind, but also the earth that had the curse on it. Isn't that crazy? Even though it's not, we might look out there and it's not like, what, the Garden of Eden? It's not like that. Well, it might be like that in some places. Some of your backyard might look like the Garden of Eden. How many of you got about it? No. But God has redeemed the earth through Christ, and it takes the body of Christ to bring the authority of what Jesus has done into the earth. It really is. It's taken by the Holy Spirit. This is how he's going to do it. He's going to use us. You will see things that you've never seen before. Is that cool? You will hear things you never heard. You'll hear God speaking to you. What? Are you kidding me? Yeah. No, I'm not kidding you. Because we are redeemed. The heaven and the earth are ready to receive the sons and the daughters of God. Is that right? You know what I'm saying? The Romans, it says that the whole creation is groaning, waiting to see the manifestations of the sons of God. That's us. Hallelujah. Lady, that you're included in that because it's the Son of God that dwells in you. Hallelujah. And that's cool. I don't know about you, but I didn't hear a lot of this kind of teaching when I was growing up. I mean, going in the church, you guys hear a lot of this stuff? I'm telling you, God is bringing his kingdom into the earth, and he's using you to be. You're here for a reason, not in this church, but you're here on the earth for a reason, because God has great plans for you. Great plans. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, God takes care of us. Is that right? How many know I'm trying? Pat, I got a plat of grass that I'm trying to grow in the back. And this little piece, it's just a little strip. It's about, I don't know, 60 feet long by 10 foot wide. And it goes around a curve. And the rabbits have been eaten. I mean, like a smorgasbord for them, man. I come home and there's nine rabbits, you know, they're waving when they're going by. Hey, man, they're all fat. I go, jeez. I said, Lord. I said, man, I'm just trying to grow a little bit of grass. Not marijuana, grass. Just trying to grow a little bit of grass. And I've got all these rabbits. So me and my brightness, I said, Lord, can't you do something about it? Well, I'm not sure if this is a blessing or not, because Rosie loves to watch birds. And we have bird feeders out there. And these birds, man, are coming in. And every morning, they talk to my wife. Can you believe that? Where's she at? And she calls them, and they whistle back. I said, leave them alone. They'll find it. No. But anyway,
All of a sudden, we got three. I mean, I think there's three. I've seen three, but there are these hawks that have showed up. And I'm going to tell you what. These guys are vicious. They really are, man. They're sitting on the fence with some little bird, and they're ripping them apart. I go, whoa, man, what's going on? And I'm in the middle of is this you, God? I mean, I know I asked, because I will tell you, there's not one rabbit around my house. Not one. I haven't seen a rabbit in 4 or 5 days. Isn't that right, Rose? Have not seen a rabbit out there on that lawn. And I said, Lord, did you answer my prayer here? I don't know what to do now, because now they're attacking Rosie's birds. And so I'm going to get Reuben over there. He'll know what to do. Isn't that right, Reuben? Reuben's got a little call. And I think that's why I got so many hawks around my house. Isn't that right, Reuben? Reuben, give me that call real quick. Yeah, didn't that sound like a hawk? Did you hear that? Do it again one more time. That's the sound I hear around my house all the time. And I think my brother over here is the one that did it. Called them in, and now they don't want to leave. It's kind of crazy, man. And my daughter's talking about it. But yeah, we got three hawks. So pray for me, because I don't know what to do. I think it might be a blessing, because my grass is growing really good right now. Something like, God, what did you do, man? Yeah, it's kind of crazy, huh? But I think I probably better preach, because we got to do some baptism, huh? I love you guys. How many we love you guys here, man? I mean, I'm so glad that you guys come and listen to us. And our heart is to build you and strengthen you, and not to hurt you. God wants us to build the body of Christ and to speak into them and allow His Spirit. You hear what's being spoken. You listen to what He's saying and allow His Spirit to take it into your heart and begin to cultivate whatever He wants to do in your heart. How many know that's important to you? Let me just tell you something. I'm not trying to get you to believe everything I believe. I'm not trying to get you to say it, talk the way I talk or walk the way I walk, because I walk kind of crooked. I'm not trying to do that. We are trying to build you in the kingdom of God the way God wants you built. And the only way I know to do that is to hear what God is saying, inspire you with what, and allow Him to take that into your heart and build it into His design. Isn't that cool? That's a cool thing. This morning, we are talking about authority that flows through obedience, because obedience is such an important thing in the kingdom. The kingdom of God has to operate by obedience. Not so much obedience that it's got to be something that comes from your heart, because you're directly relating to God, and God begins to speak to your heart, and this obedience comes into your life, and you begin to step where He tells you to step, begin to do what He tells you to do. And it's really beautiful, because when that begins to happen, the blessing of the Lord comes on you even stronger. The glory of God begins to come on you, and when the glory of God comes on you, people begin to look at you, and it starts this whole cycle of people coming to you to get answers from you, because you have an answer deep within you, that when they get close, it comes out on them. Isn't that crazy? That's cool, man. That's the Holy Spirit. This is the church that He's been building. And it now is the time to hear even more than, I mean, listen even closer than what you've ever listened before, get in the Word even more than what you've ever done before, and just ask God, just show me, God, show me what you're doing. And then when He says something to you, be obedient to it. We are all the body of Christ. Listen to that. We are members one of another. Is that okay? So listen. If I'm obedient to what God is telling me to do, I'm being obedient to the whole body. Same with you. If you're obedient to what God would be saying to you, you're obedient to the whole body. The body of Christ in the earth is in the earth now, and God is saying, be obedient to my Spirit. What my Spirit says to you, do that. And do that alone, and you watch what God will do. It's a different, we are in a church, I mean, we are in a church that, listen, if the Holy Spirit's not here, I wouldn't be here. How many say amen? He is everything to me. He is everything to me. He watches over me. He watches over my family. He watches over my friends. He is everything, everything. And if He's not allowed in the house, I'm not allowed either. I will leave. Because what I'm telling you, I believe this is what God is doing. I believe this is what he's doing in the earth today. We're not the only place. How many know that? God, the Holy Spirit is at work. We're not the only one. God is on the move. God is moving, and he's moving the hearts of his people. So it's important that we have a heart that is able to receive what God is saying to us. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. And your place where you meet with God, that's so important to you. It is probably the most valuable place you have is where you meet with God. I was telling somebody the other day, some folks pray while they're in the car. You know, pray, and you know when the Holy Ghost comes on, you're like, oh yeah, praise God. You close your eyes. And so I don't know if that's really a good place to be worshiping the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, if you close your eyes, I bet he'll take care of you. Amen? Come on, man. Pull over. Do your Holy Ghost texting. Amen. Hallelujah. And then go on. Praise God. I'm rattling on. I've got a baptism to do, Pastor. I'm sorry. Glory to God. Know that God's doing something in your life. You're here for a reason. Turn to, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. Glory to God. Henry and his hawk ranch. Come on. Yeah, praise God. I started reading this and I said, Lord, I just got no idea where to start, but I know where he wanted to take me. But I, Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 4, Jesus is at in chapter 3, Jesus went and got baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible says that the heavens opened and the Spirit came down. And that right there spoke to me. And I said, oh, God, is this what you want me to talk about? Because I'm going to tell you, folks, we are living under an open heaven. Do you know that? Do you know that? The Spirit of God is on the earth, and we are living under an open heaven. The communication is open if you will take the time to give it. I mean, it's just, you just go to God and say, hey, man, God, I want to talk with you. And he says, come on, let's talk. We are living under an open heaven. And Jesus, the Word of God says that the heavens opened and the Spirit came down. And he says immediately after that, he was taken into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came out, when that 40 days and 40 nights, that's when, it's funny, when he hungered, that's when the enemy come after him. He says, man, I know you want a Taco Bell. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Man does not live by bread alone, talking more like Taco Bell. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, and this is a word to us, every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, we can live on that. Do you know that? Do you know you can live on the Word of God? Come on, man. Hallelujah. So he gets through that, and the angels, they encourage him and they strengthen him, and he heads off to Capernaum. And that's the place where we're going to find him in the scriptures here today. And the Bible says that as he came into Capernaum, he began to preach the kingdom of God. And as he preached the kingdom of God, people began to gather around him. And can I tell you, if you've gone through a 40-day fast, the longest fast I've ever done is 10-day fast. And you come out powerful. Is that right? You feel like, oh, man, where you at, man? I'll find you and I'll get rid of you, whatever the enemy is. But, I mean, 40 days, I believe that Jesus was in those 40 days, was preparing for the ministry that was happening. There was a three-year ministry was getting ready to happen. And God was preparing Jesus in the wilderness. It wasn't just all fighting the enemy, because it was afterwards. If you'll see in your scriptures that it says afterwards the enemy come against, it was after the 40 days and 40 nights. So in those 40 days and 40 nights, I believe God was placing things on his heart like we'd never see. God was creating, if you will, and this is my part where I get a flow. God was creating a flow in this man. Is that right? And so comes out of the wilderness, and that's where we're going to take it up in verse 23. Lord, help me to preach what you have. Let's pray. Lord, help me to preach what you have placed on my heart, Father. I know and I hear, but God, I'm not sure if I can get it the way you want it. So, Father, just anoint my heart, anoint my lips to speak the things that you are saying to the body of Christ this morning. Let my mouth be, let it be clear in what you are saying. And allow the Holy Spirit to deposit the seed into the hearts of your people. And we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hey, verse 23, he says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. The place where we're having most trouble was Syria. His fame went into Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And the word of God says right here, and he healed them. Amen? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hey, does God still heal today?
Amen.
Oh, he absolutely does. God is a healer, and especially for his people. And verse 25 says, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. Verse 2 says of chapter 5, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute because what we're about to look at, what he began to do is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. How many know that? This is the Sermon on the Mount. I think there's probably about around 107 verses in the Sermon on the Mount of all sorts of different subjects that Jesus was speaking into the lives of the people. You remember, he was preaching the kingdom of God. So when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, you're looking at the mindset of the kingdom. Do you hear me? It's the mindset. It's how God operates. It's what he does. I mean, you're going to see stuff in there like you are the light of the world. Is that right? You are the salt of the earth. The light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Men don't put a bushel over the light. They take it off and let it shine in all the house. He begins to open up what the kingdom of God, the mindset of the kingdom. Yeah, there's stuff in there that shook me a little bit. There's things about adultery in there. Amen. Where Jesus says, hey, you know, you've heard it said not to commit adultery. He says, but let me tell you something. Any man that looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Heavy stuff, amen? But you see, you gotta understand, it's the mindset of the kingdom. It is the mindset. Every woman should be your sister. If she's younger, she's your daughter. If she's older, she's your mom. Amen? Hi, mom. Where you at? Yeah, come on, man. Isn't that right? Come on, man. There is a way to look. There is a way. The mindset of the kingdom is what Jesus begins to speak about in these next few chapters, man. Like I say, there's 107. I counted them. 1, 2, 3. It took me an hour to count. No, I didn't. You just start at chapter whatever. There's 37 verses. And so 107 verses. Pretty cool. And because there's things in there like the Lord's Prayer. Is that right? In this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer is in there. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about forgiveness. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, hey, you know what? The birds of the air, man, they don't worry about what they put on. They don't care. They know that their Heavenly Father will take care of them. Is that right? In the Sermon on the Mount, it's the mindset of the kingdom that you're going to be taken care of. Everything you need is already taken care of. Is that okay? Is that cool? It's just the mindset of the kingdom. So we're not going to go through the Sermon on the Mount. Amen? Is that okay? Because we've got to get a baptism done today. Isn't that right, Pastor? 107 verses, and the way I talk, man, it might take me, we might be done in 2050, whatever. But we're going to go to the end of this, and we're going to go right, verse 28 of chapter 7, it says this, it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I was just saying that when Jesus was, when he was on the mountain, when he come down, the people were astonished at what he was saying. Amen. How many of you ever been astonished? I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I was astonished. I mean, I was amazed at what I was hearing. It was crazy. How many of you have been slain in the spirit? Anybody been slain in the spirit? Come on, man. I went up to an altar, and I was just going to get my eye prayed for. And while I was there, my wife was next to me. We had never been in a service like this. She was complaining. She goes, my dad told me never to go in one of these places because it was a tent. It was a tent. And she said, my dad told me not to come. I said, hey, we're already here, mija. Let's just go in and we'll wait and see what happens. So she says, you better not leave me. Don't worry, babe. Just stay right here. Well, my friend's talking to me. He says, hey, man, God will heal your eye. Really? Yeah. The evangelist comes out and he goes, we're going to do something a little different today. Instead of preaching first, we're gonna pray for everybody. Anybody needs prayer? You got an infirmity? Come on up, you know. And so my buddy's punching me. And I said, no, I don't want to go. And he goes, go ahead. Come on, man. So he talks me into it. We go up there. And we're standing in a, you know how you get stand in front. We're standing in front here. He's over here. The evangelist says he's praying for people. And I'm talking to my friend. He goes, yeah, when he gets to you, and just tell him what's going on. And I said, yeah. All of a sudden, I turn out Rosie's standing right there next to me. I go, and she go, I told you not to leave me alone. So, right after that, he steps in front of her. And when he steps in front of her, he stops and he looks and he goes, you're afraid of what your dad is going to say about you being in this place. I'm going, what? And she starts crying. And he puts his hand up to pray for him. Boom, crash. I go, what? I didn't know what was going on. It was crazy. I didn't know. I mean, I'm new to this stuff. Amen? So he comes over to me and he says, hey, man. He goes, what do you want? What do you need, brother? I said, well, I pull off my glasses. And I want him to get to touch my eye. But what I told him, what came out of my mouth was, if God is real, I want to know it. I didn't even expect to say that. I was holding my glasses. He gets my glasses. He puts them in my shirt pocket, and he puts his hand up. The next thing I know, I'm floating. Ooh. And it was like I was when I was in high school. Some guys put some stuff in my beer, and we went to a dance, and I was floating. You should have seen me dance that day. But anyway, that's actually how it felt. It was a high like I'd never had. And then the next thing I know, I feel like I'm slow. And the next thing I know, I can hear somebody talking, blah, 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 blah. And it got louder and louder. And what I did, I opened my eyes and I was flat on my back, right in the middle of everything. And I'm not somebody that likes to get, it might seem like I like doing what I'm here. I do like doing what this, but I'm nervous every time I get up here. But I'm flat on my back and I'm looking around and I sat up and I'm mad. Immediately I got mad. It just made me mad. And the guy walks over to me and goes, oh, you're back. So I looked at him, didn't say nothing to him, went and sat down next to Rosie and my friend. And my friend's going, hey man, shut up, man. I'm mad, man. He goes, hey. He goes, you're up there almost 35 minutes. I go, what? You're kidding me. He says, no, man, look at it. Check it out. Time goes fast when you're having fun, amen? I was just floating around. So I was astonished at the things that were happening. I could not believe what I was seeing and hearing. And it happened again. I got slain in spirit, but it was something that God was doing. God was convincing me. Boy, I'm real. You believe me now? And I said, Lord, man, I couldn't believe the things that I was. I was astonished, and that's what these guys did. They were astonished at what Jesus was saying. His doctrine was so different. He says he teaches like somebody that has an authority.
which Jesus had authority. Amen. When he got baptized, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then you got to note, you got to take a note that at that time Jesus had done no miracles. But I believe Jesus was in fellowship with his Father just like he should have been all that time. All the time up to he was 30 years old, he was having fellowship with his Father. And the Father certifies it when in spirit, when the heavens open, the Spirit opens up, and he says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Woo! So when Jesus is talking, he's got authority. Amen? He's talking with some authority. I know what it's like. I know what the kingdom of God is like. And this is the way the kingdom functions and acts and watches. So I would say go through the Sermon on the Mount one more time and again and again and again. And let that get into your soul. Let the Spirit feed you to teach you what the kingdom of God is going to be. The flavor of it, of the kingdom of God. And that's so good, such a good thing. Hallelujah. So Jesus not only taught with authority, but before he went in, he was healing folks. Is that right? There was authority. He was casting out demons, man. Get out. Yeah, who are you? Get out, man. You know, and Jesus was doing these things because he was filled with the authority of God. And when after the sermon, here he comes off the mountain, and it says, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' Jesus put forth his hand and touched him," which was not allowed. Was not allowed. How many know that? A leper's a leper. You don't touch a leper. Anybody that touches a leper, you got to go see the priest. They got to make sure you're clean. And it's a whole rigmarole full of stuff. Jesus touches him and says, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Did Jesus have authority? Absolutely. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." Yeah, right. Tell no man. Can you believe that? He was a leper, and now he's clean. You think he's going to keep it quiet? Run to the family. Check it out. Jesus touched me. Woo, come on. And verse 5 says, "When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, 'Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.'" I love Jesus' response. And Jesus said to him, "I'll come and heal him." Amen? I want to tell you something. Jesus, I don't know, sometimes we think maybe he might have been this holy man walking around. Hey, I'll come heal him. I'll come to your house. Absolutely. Where you live. Let's go. Let's do it now. That's what I love about Jesus. He loved people. Amen. He loved people. And he was in the earth to touch folks. That's why he was here. And he knew it. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And the centurion begins to say things. He says, "I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And the NIV says that the Gentiles will come, and a lot of the children that were designed to be in God's kingdom, the Jewish kids, they're going to be cast out. Not all of them. Because God's a merciful God, and he's got promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that there will be, their families will be in there. But not all of them will turn to the Lord, and not all of them will make it. But Jesus says, "I have not seen so great faith in all Israel." See, the man understood authority. He knew what he was, a man of authority. He goes, "I understand authority. I know how it works. I know that you are serving." This was like what he was saying to Jesus. "I know that you are serving him that is above all." And we read that a couple of weeks ago where it says in Romans chapter 13 that the powers that be are given of God. And every man is to be subject to these powers. All of us subject to the powers that are over us. Is that right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Your governor, your president, no matter who, no matter what you think about, whatever you think of, good or bad, whatever it is, he's a man. The Bible talks, says that he is a leader over you. The Word of God says you got to pray for him. Even the one that you don't want to pray for. You know, I don't like the mayor of my city. So what? What does that have to do with the kingdom of God? You pray for him. Is that cool? Easy. It's easier to figure out that way. You don't have to figure out, well, he believes this, he believes that. She believes this, she believes that. I want that judge out. Hey, it's easy. You know what? She's in authority. I'll pray for him. Bang. Say, Lord, touch that. Because it's the position. It's the position that God is talking about, the authority. It's cool. Hallelujah. If some of you are going, what? Yeah. Pray for those that are in authority over you, whether you like them or not. It's cool. Is that right, Donnell? Smile when you do that. Yes. Yeah, smile. It's right. Because that's what the Word of God tells us. Jesus was obedient in everything that he did. John chapter 6, verse 38 says this. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Like I said before, when we look at Jesus, we need to realize that he is a pattern for us. And so that when he says something like this, the Bible, I mean, we are to latch on to something like this and say, look, I am here to do the will of my Father. How many know that? How many of you really know that you're here to do God's will?
Yes.
Do you know that? That's what that's why he's got you here. That's why what year are we? 2019? He has all of you in here because he's got something for you. He really does. You might not think he does. You might have some excuses. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. Are you breathing? How many of you are breathing in here? Yeah. Only six of you that raised your hands. Seven, eight, nine over there. Yeah. No, if you're breathing and you're hearing the word here, man, I'm going to tell you something. God has something for you. He really does. He always does. He's placed things in you that you don't have. You got no idea that they're even there. And if you let him, he'll take you to those things, and you're going to find out that those things are the things you've been hungering for all your life. Isn't that good? Because he knows you better than you know yourself. John chapter 8, verse 25 and 26, I want you to look at this. It says this. This is what Jesus said. And they said to him, who are you? These folks, man, the Pharisees wanted to know who Jesus was. In one point, they even said, I think it was the high priest, Caiaphas told them, I adjure you by the Lord God of heaven, tell us who you are. Are you the Christ? Jesus says, I am. He did answer that because he was honoring the authority that Caiaphas had said, I adjure you by the God. So Jesus obeyed authorities. And here's what he says. He says, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But this is the point that I believe God is wanting us to look at. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. You see, I've been saying over and over and over again that God is calling us into his presence, into our prayer closet. He's been calling us because he wants to say things to you. He wants to speak things to you. He wants to put deep things into your heart. Isn't that right, Terry? He wants to put some deep things in your heart because he's going to send somebody to you. See, forever the church has said, we got to go out and bang on doors. Bang, bang, bang. Hey, I'm a Christian. Door slammed in your face. Well, let's go to the next one. Praise God. Demon possessed in that house. You know, whatever, man. For a long time, people, that's how I've been. But God is saying, I have placed a treasure within you. There is a treasure with you, within your earthen vessel. And he says, I will load you up, and then I'll send somebody to you. Isn't that a better way to do it? God will send those to you because you have a message for him, because you have something within you already. And that's cool. And so then you just like Jesus said, I only say the things that he tells me to say. Sorry. We need to take a look at that and quit saying things that are just random, useless. How many know that we say a lot of stuff? I mean, it's okay to talk about old cars. Anything else can't do it. I'm just kidding. I like old cars. But there is a lot of useless talk that we go through. How many know that? That we really shouldn't be saying. And we need to realize that Jesus was saying something. I will edify and I will build up and I'm going to teach you. And he says, therefore, I'm going to say only the things that my Father tells me to say. And that's a good thing to remember. Amen. Now look at this next scripture. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. I like this one. Because for a long time, I just thought that Jesus was randomly doing things. He'd go into this big crowd and just... But I see that by what Jesus is instructing us is that the things that he received from God. The actions that he did, he received them from God. And this is what this, John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 says, then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Did you get this in the TPT? Because the Passion Translation has a really beautiful way of saying what he said here. Because right here it gets a little bit confusing. But look at what it says in the Passion Translation. So Jesus said, I speak to you a timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. You see what he's saying? This is the same way that we are to live, folks. We don't do anything on our own or through our own initiative. And then he says this, I only do the works that I see the Father doing. For the Son does the same works as the Father. Check this out. Because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything that he is, listen, about to do. And you will be amazed when he shows me even greater works than what you've seen so far. I'm going to leave 21 off. But the point is that Jesus was telling them, he goes, look, what I've seen, the things that I'm doing, the reason I'm doing it, because I saw the Father doing them. Father revealed them to me. And see, can I tell you something? We are in a time where God wants to reveal his work to you personally. Oh, you got to get this, because he wants you to do the things that he has planned for you. So what he will do is he'll show you those things and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how great and wonderful. And you, because I can tell you something, Christianity is not boring. Can I say that to you? It is not boring. When you begin to step into these things, they are the most life-giving things. You're going to want more. You're going to want more and more because these are life-giving things. You know, the Word of God says, I've given you life and what? Life more what? Abundant. We're talking about an abundant lifestyle. When God is taking you and saying, look, this is the agenda today. While you're at your desk at your office, there's going to be a young lady come up to you and you're going to say this, that, and the other and whatever. Boom. She's going to fall out or whatever, man. But God has got plans for you. See, we've gotten so used to doing what we think we need to do. God would say something a little bit different. Hey, man, I got something different for you. Let's check it out. Let me show you. This is Old Testament. You guys like the Old Testament? How many of you guys believe that God speaks in the Old Testament? You know, being a pastor, you get some weird stuff. People say, well, the Old Testament is not relevant for today. Are you kidding me? Come on. You mean God creating the heavens and earth isn't relevant for today? Come on. Jeez. I mean, you get some weird stuff. How many know? Everybody say amen. It's okay. People are weird. I'm weird. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, I got one scripture before we go to the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul exhorts us saying, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this is what he tells us. He tells us, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Don't stop, right? Don't stop. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean?
Just keep on praying.
Just keep praying. Can you pray in the good times? It's easy. Can you pray in the bad times? It's easy.
No, hey, come on, man. It's a sacrifice, amen? Come on, man. But all in all, God is calling. Paul is saying something. You know, you might not think that's much of a scripture, but that's a powerful scripture right there. Pray without ceasing. Because the fact of the matter, when you're praying without ceasing, in that prayer time, that's where the Father begins to reveal the things that you need to know. I need to know how to take care of the hawks on my property. Is that okay? So I pray without ceasing. I say, God, are these your hawks or what? Did I ask for these? Is this what I asked for? Amen. Pray without ceasing. Powerful scripture right there. I would write it down. I would say, man, I'm going to do this one right here. Does that look like a gentle reminder? Does that look like maybe a suggestion? That's not a suggestion. It's not a gentle reminder. It is. Paul is just as serious saying, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Because it is in prayer where God opens and reveals things to you. It's not so much because I will tell you, the Word of God says it this way. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's why we go to church. You need to know what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. But in your time of personal time with God, that's where God zeroes in on you. And he begins to tell you, don't worry about that person. Do not let their words bother you. I am with you. I mean, that's where God begins to do the mighty work within you is in your own prayer time. Isn't that cool? Watch this. Isaiah 55, 6 through 12. Oh, man, I can't wait to get to this one. I love this one. It says, seek the Lord while he may be what? Is that right? Seek him. And then he says, call ye upon him while he's near. Is that right? Let the wicked forsake his way and check the unrighteous man and lady, I'm not going to let you off the hook, or woman, forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Is that right? How many of you know God is good? And God is so in love with you that he, you know, can I tell you something? There is something about God that he so much loves you that he is so willing to say, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. My son paid for that. My son paid for that. It's okay, come here. Let me help you. Let me show you how to get through this that you're going through. Remember when Moses struck the rock when he was commanded to speak to the rock? Do you remember that? Moses went up to the rock and he was mad at the congregation because they're once again crying about water. Dude, these people are driving me crazy. Have you ever felt like that?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, these people are driving me crazy. He goes, why are you still? And he smacks the rock. Water came out. See, I don't think God was at all upset about them asking for water. Wasn't at all. But he got after Moses and told him, hey, man, because of this, you're not going into the water. You see, because I believe that Moses represented God wrong at that time. God is a loving God, and he wanted to give him, I'll give him water. Let's show him another flow out of the rock show, Moses. What do you say? Let's do it. You know, you bite a boom, and he beats it. Misrepresented the love of God that God had for those people. Isn't that crazy? And God loves you. He does. He's not trying to smack you down. He's trying to build you up. Hallelujah. It says here, let the wicked forsake his way, the righteous his thoughts. Then return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then he says this, for my thoughts. And this is where I'm challenging you this morning. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is what God is saying. Is he trying to tease you? Because we could say, well, my thoughts are not his thoughts, so what? Why even try? Because God wants to speak his thoughts to you. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. See, our ways, if we're not doing what God is asking us to do, can I tell you, could it be that God is saying, stop being disobedient? stop walking in a place where I haven't designed for you. Sometimes we get hurt and we're upset and people say things to us and we're hurting, and God says, because I didn't design you to walk in there. You're not listening to what I'm telling you. My thoughts are not yours. If you would listen to me, I will take you in the place where you need to go. But you're going on your own, so now you're getting hurt, and now you're complaining about everybody around you. Guess what? It's because you've been disobedient. I mean, I know we don't like to hear stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. God does have a way for you. And he says it right here. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, here he goes, this is the flow. I love the flow. As the rain comes down and snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth. How many of you know that God's trying to water you? God is trying to grow things in you. He's trying, so he says, my words are watering to you. There's a watering effect. He says, he waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then he says this, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. Verse 12 says, for you shall go out with joy. How many like going out with joy? Can I tell you, when God leads you, when you know that you're in what God has told you to do, joy begins to hit your heart. I mean, can I tell you, pastoring a church can be kind of hard. Kind of hard.
Not hard.
It's okay. But I know when I'm in the position where God has me to be, I know he's placed me here. I know he's placed Pastor John, Pastor Pat, my daughter, Rebecca, as a worship leader. I know God has placed us there. So it can be kind of hard, kind of tough. It can be. But the fact of the matter is, as long as I'm obedient, there is great joy in my step. There is peace in my step because I'm being obedient to God. I say, God, I'm being as obedient as I can to you, Lord. And I'm listening to you, Lord. If I'm doing something wrong, Lord, just tell me. I'll change it. I won't do anything without you. I won't make decisions without you. I won't, because my ways are not like your ways. I've got to know what your ways are so I can know the path that I can walk in. And can I say this? That joy comes in like a flood. Yeah, you might feel uneasy and unrest, but I'm going to tell you, joy will hold you and keep you. The peace of God will keep your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. Because you know you're doing what God has asked you to do. There's not this gray cloud we talk about. Isn't that right, Pastor John? We talk about this gray cloud. I'm not real sure what he wants me to do. We'll find out. It's as close as going into your closet and shutting the door and saying, God, I need to know what you want me to do. And if you don't tell me, I will do nothing until you do. And God will tell you. Asking you, that's also in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask. And you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. The key is ask, right? A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. Spells ask, 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 ask. Speak to the Lord. Oh, another scripture that's in the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 6:10. We pray this all the time. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that right? We pray it all the time. You see, folks, one of the things that God is trying to stress to us, we got to know about the kingdom, because we're asking for the kingdom to come, but we're not getting the kingdom like he's saying. We're not understanding the way the kingdom operates, and the kingdom of God operates in obedience. It does. Anything other than that is disobedient. So keep that in your heart. The kingdom of God operates in obedience. Being that it operates in obedience, God, tell me what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. Just tell me. And if you don't tell me, I won't do. It's okay to wait on the God, wait on the Lord. Is that right? God tells us, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. He tells us to wait for him. It is a foolish person that will walk off without consulting God. Or walk in without consulting God. We're not that kind of people. We have the wisdom of God dwelling in us. How many? God has given us the mind of Christ. It's time to walk in it. Amen?
Amen.
Can anybody say amen? It really is time to walk in. You see, the Word of God says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You have your own mind, and the Bible says you have been given the mind of Christ. So which one you want to walk in? Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the mind of Christ. I want to know what God is saying. I want to seek those things and walk in them. Amen? So check this out. This is the last one, and I hate to drop this one on you, but it's a good one. It says right here, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Is that crazy? There are people out there that right now are going as hard as they can. Doing things as hard as they can for the kingdom. And yet they are not listening to what God might be saying. I believe this scripture right here might be addressing that. It says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Do you see how important it is that you find out what God is saying to you, what he wants from you? It says, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have not we prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils. And in your name many wonderful works. Can you give me the next verse? Oops. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Can I tell you, rebellion is iniquity. Rebellion is iniquity. The body of Christ today needs to hear what God is saying to them personally. It forms the body. Just because you're not the pastor doesn't mean you're not part of the body. Just because, isn't that what the Word of God says? If the eye says to the foot, I'm not part of the body, is he therefore not part of the body? No, he's part of the body. It's important that we understand that every part of the body needs to be listening from the Lord, listening to what he's saying. Is that okay? Can I tell you that this morning? Can I say that to you? Find out what God is saying to you. Spend time with him in his presence. Go and say, Lord, I'm going to lay here. I'm going to just ask you to speak to me. If there's anybody in the house this morning, can I get you all to stand just for a second? Can I get you everybody to stand? If there's anybody in the house, number one, that's never given their heart to the Lord, I want to say a prayer very quickly. I want to say a prayer with you, because you might be saying, you know what? I think I want to get my heart to Jesus, because God is the most wonderful. He is the most wonderful thing you'll find. There's nobody like God. Nobody like God. So if you will, bow your heads and say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me. I have sinned. I know that Jesus died for sins. And Lord, today, I believe that he died for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me new. If you said that and you believed it in your heart, you say this to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for my life in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I want to pray this. If there's anybody here that man, you just don't know what God has for you. You're just kind of struggling with a little bit of God, I don't know. I wish I did know. I wish I did. Because a message like this, speaking these things to you, I want you to know that God knows where your heart is at. And he knows how hungry you are. He knows how much you want to desire to know what he has for you. He knows that. So it's a simple thing. The Word of God says, ask, and it shall be given. So we're going to ask right now, and if you will, just ask with me, dear Heavenly Father, what do I do? Isn't that crazy? What do I do? What do you want me to do, Father? Father, will you show me You can say this with me. Come on. Father, will you show me what it is you have for me? I believe that you have given me all things that pertain to life and godliness through your Son Jesus. Therefore, Father, show me what you want. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Was that hard? Not hard at all. Do that in your bedroom every night. Do that in front of your refrigerator, because I know you're going to get your cereal or whatever, but do that every morning. Just say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Show me what you want. And you watch, as you open the Word of God, as you begin to pray, you're going to hear God speaking to you, because it is His desire to give you the kingdom. That's what His Word says. It's His desire to speak to you and give you the things of the kingdom. And they are glorious things. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed, because they're crazy, incredible things. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.